RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Christmas Eve, Val, and
Beans. We should start doing that. Christmas Eve, Eve.
Well, we're going to have 364 Christmas Eves in a couple of days.
Yeah, and then, you know, you can do 150 and I'll do 150 and we'll split the rest of the difference between each other.
Exactly. And who's going to be counting anyway?
We'll be done with the show by the time it's over.
You may be getting a little bit too big for your britches.
What do you mean?
We got confirmation that the president was talking about you in a private meeting last Friday. And, Michael Flynn shouts you out on stage and in cyberspace almost every other day now. And then Sidney Powell brings you up on Lou Dobbs the other night. I don't know, Tracy, don't get too big because I will leave and go. I will take my.
Did you say you're going to leave?
I will take my ball and go home out of complete jealousy.
Frank, that was just the most horrible Christmas Eve message. You should. This is okay. First of all, okay, I quit. That's it. No podcast today.
There you have it. There you have it. Now she quit.
Frank,
what does it feel like to have your name dropped like that? Obviously, it's for all the right reasons. I mean, this is it's all hands on deck, and obviously, you have really found a place to put your talents to good use, and people have noticed it. But does it faze you at all?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen. This is the truth, and I mean it. I think you guys, especially, there's a lot of new people listening, especially after Monday. So hello to everyone out there. But we're a family here. And I swear, that was the most horrible thing I've ever heard. This podcast would cease to exist without you.
It was a joke. You want to start the podcast over?
Joke. This is exactly what people need to hear.
Okay. I was going to say, I'll start off with a different joke if you want.
No. No, it's very weird. I got to be, like, listen, I'm just like everybody else, passionate about this, trying to do the right thing here. And I'm just blessed enough to be doing it for a living. It's my job. If I were doing this job and nobody were paying any attention, how much of a failure would that be? So it's an honor, and it just makes me have to make sure that I up my game even more. Like, it's important. I can't even believe it. Frank, when sometimes I get messages and people are like, oh my gosh, like somebody sent me, somebody commented under my interview that I did yesterday with Jan from American Thought Leaders and said, Tracy, Sidney Powell just talked about you on Hannity. And I thought that was just, I don't even know what to say. I turn red listen, you heard me react the other day when Patrick Byrne said that. I listened back to that. I sounded like an idiot.
I would be stammering too to think that's incredible. No, that's me too. I wasn't listening to Lou Dobbs. I was, or watching the network at all because I was getting ready for my own show. But I got a text message shortly before I went live from a friend of mine, a Bernie Sanders voter, by the way.
That was Levin.
What do you mean?
You're talking about the Levin show?
No, that was something else. Oh, I forgot to even bring that up. Whoever filled in for Levin the other night played the full 5 minutes, or within the first 5 minutes, played your address to the president that you said you were going to make after we got off the phone with Patrick Byrne. So,
because I was just like, I get overcome and I just need to.
No, there's no excuse. You don't need to explain why. Obviously it resonates. It's not like, it resonates big time. So
that's because like I said, Frank, you and I are just like everybody else. We're just blessed to be screaming into microphones and not everybody can. And that, you know, it sounds so stupid. Like people are like, yeah. But I really mean it. Like, I don't view myself as any different than any other American out there. Obviously, people feel the same way. If there was no, you know, if there was no public agreement with what we're trying to say here, then we would just be talking to ourselves.
Indeed.
And
indeed,
we're, you know, reinventing the media is kind of the thing that I stuck my fork down in. And I have, I just have standards that are just very high for what we will put out and what we will show people. And I don't accept flippy floppy nonsense. And it's just
reinventing the media has been very fun, by the way.
It has been.
It's been very fun. You know?
And, you know, look, the past month of my life has been insanity. It really has. I'm honored and blessed and humbled beyond measure and all the things. Like, I don't think about it, Frank, because I sometimes say, is this real life? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, for it all to be happening now, and the reason why I bring it on up, the reason why I let off with it, because here we are, it's 2 days from Christmas, and regardless of the year that we're all living in, we got to find reasons to be grateful, and we got to find things to be happy and excited about. And this is, I mean, this has just been a very easy thing to be excited about. Yeah. It's just the personal thing, the collective. There's a lot of great awakenings going on, and especially in media. I love seeing the old, tired, crumbly, cracky, dried out dinosaurs be given a run for their money. You know, I was watching the other day. I was listening. I was reading it on Gateway Pundit, but it's been passed around a lot. The math that was done to show just how impossible it is. I think Bill Binney did it. How impossible it is, just on a basic math standpoint, for Joe Biden to have won based on the number of votes, the eligible voters who turned out, and Donald Trump getting 74 million votes, 75 off the top. It doesn't even leave Joe Biden enough wiggle room to get 70 million votes, let alone 80 plus.
Yeah, I
laughed to myself as I went through all of the math that was being broken down. And really what it comes down to for so many people is that if someone like Jake Tapper says it's not news, it's not news. And that is the glaring reason why media has killed itself, and it's been a righteous death. It's been really wonderful to watch.
Yeah, I mean, if that were true, that there wouldn't be millions of people making plans to go up to D.C. for the 6th.
And obviously, you're going to be there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be home, I think. I think I'll be home.
Awkward silence.
I'll talk to Lauren. We'll see what happens.
Secondly, Newsmax jumped the shark already. I knew it would happen. It was just only a matter of time. I lost you.
What happened?
They did this whole big thing about how there's no confirmation that Dominion voting systems did anything wrong, and they're getting sued because of their reporting on the actual facts. They're getting sued, so they had to do their little disclaimer about how there was no evidence of election fraud and all that nonsense, their 2-minute long disclaimer. And everybody said, okay, see you later, bye. Do you see Shem?
Are you talking about Shem putting out all of the ratings at Fox?
Yep.
How the big three are like a 12th and 19th place.
I'm gonna go over it right now because that tweet went viral, because it's something else.
Oh yeah, it is, and that is everything you need to know about voting with your wallet, voting with your time. Oh, it shows up.
Yeah, and it's great. He tweets a lot, so I'm scaling through here. And there's a lot of stuff going on with this executive order about the special counsel and stuff we'll talk about. Okay. And hold on. People that Donald Trump appointed to certain places, which I find very interesting. Come on, Shem. I know you're listening, Shem. Why do you tweet so much? Why? Why? Do you know where it is?
Yeah, I saved it, but on another computer upstairs.
Of course.
Because I was going to bring it up tonight.
I'm going to find it because it's that important.
I saved the screenshot. I didn't actually.
You didn't actually save the tweet. You just saved a screenshot. This is it. Everybody's like, all right, Tracy, got to it already. Come on, man. I'm just going to look for the tweet with like 3,000 retweets because that's how many it had. And I can't find it. Well, I'll keep looking. But basically, it showed that, like, Friday night's ratings for Tucker Carlson, he was, like, down in the 40s. Like, below Jake Tapper's 3 o'clock show.
And as we all know, Jake Tapper sucks.
I mean, he's bad. And this is what is happening. Like, nobody is watching Hannity and Ingram. Ingram is just in the toilet. Hannity is in the, they're in the toilet. They're in the toilet. Like, they didn't even, their news shows during the day don't even make the top 50. So they're doing absolutely horribly, and rightfully so, because this is, I said, like, this is how disinformation works. You get people to trust you, and then you pepper in a little bit of disinformation and lies, and you try and use the trust that people have gained with you to, like, lead them astray. And Fox News thought they had everybody by the cojones, and they didn't. Everybody could see through their nonsense, and it'd been coming for a while, Frank. Election night just sealed it. And then cutting away from the president in the middle of his speech. That was, or the press secretary that day, remember?
Yeah.
And then,
yes,
you know, there's right now, I have this up actually to play for you a little bit. This is a hearing going on in Georgia right now. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know his name. He's with the elections board or something here.
But Fulton County does have those. So that is correct. And you asked about the signature audit too. And yes, we're looking forward to conducting that. You mentioned, you know, is there kind of difference in counties and how they apply it? And you know, that was the reason why it was challenged. Based on my conversations with county election officials, they don't like the signature match because there is a level of subjectivity into whether or not it, you know, the law says whether or not it appears to be valid. And there's certainly a level of subjectivity in that. So I think that's another reason why we should move away from that as a way to verify absentee ballots.
So this guy, Ryan Jeremy here, who's trying to hide off camera because he's too, he's, I mean, you could see on his face, he knows he's just full of it as the thing goes on. He's saying that there shouldn't be a signature match for absentee ballots. They should just accept them all. That's why there was so little challenge. Let's go live here. Wait. Oh, go ahead. What are your thoughts?
I mean, outside of that just being ridiculous, there shouldn't be. Anybody that is advocating for reasons to make voting less accountable or less precise is just you're the same type of people who thought that mail-in voting in the first place. Not absentee ballots, but the JCPenney Christmas catalog mailers that were sent to everybody. that's what you think that is. If you think that's a good idea, it's because you know that within that margin of chaos you're creating, you may be able to benefit the most than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just like with illegal immigration and how they bend over backwards to try to destroy the idea of immigration by making it synonymous with illegal immigration. They know that only one side is going to benefit from that. If there wasn't any kind of a benefit that would be there for the Democrat Party in particular, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer would be laying down mortar and brick at the southern border themselves.
It's true. They only, yes, that's absolutely correct. Yeah.
So that's just what it is.
Here, let's see what this guy's saying.
Obviously, with someone from Coffee County or the Secretary of State's office being there to supervise, I guess I would say.
Yes, that's something that we do try to put together in litigation. Normally, third parties are not allowed to access the voting equipment, the voting servers, or anything like that. That's in state election board regulation. We have had a lot of litigation over the machines. Since they've been adopted, we're now seeing different detractors, but they're making the same claims about the machines that have been made. Our position has always been, let's set up a fair inspection where both parties are present.
Oh, bull. These guys are such, they're lying to your face.
Yep.
So, Jan asked me, I don't like playing myself, but I think I said this really well. Jan asked me yesterday, like, what, or it wasn't yesterday, we did the interview on Saturday, but he's like, what would make you feel, what would make you feel confident? Like, what would be your thing? Can I play this real quick? What would satisfy you was his question. Here.
The machines in the...
It's short.
I think that what would satisfy me was would be legitimate forensic audits of all of the machines in the contested states. Legitimate signature audits in all of the contested states and counties where there are people that are allowed to be watching, that are allowed to be participating in the process as per law, where there's transparency. And if at the end of the day, after all of this checking and double checking is done and everything's investigated and the American people can see that process and feel confident that it's been done correctly, if then President Trump didn't win, he didn't win. But I don't believe after, you know, stopping of counting and hundreds of thousands of ballots being all of a sudden injected into the count, mathematical, statistical improbabilities happening, you know, the antithesis of what most of the honest polls said all of a sudden happening. You know, we're being asked to believe that all of these things that are nearly impossible all happened all at once at the same time on the same day. And when we ask questions about it, we're being told that we're not patriotic and that we're treasonous and that we're seditious. Does that sound normal to you? It's not. It's not normal. So I want it to be audited. I want the whole thing laid out. And at the end of the day, if that's done, then I'd accept a loss, but I don't think we did.
Oh, yeah.
Is that so hard?
Oh, no, it's not hard at all. It's not hard at all. And it's the most logical thing. Why do you think they stopped asking for recounts after 2016? Because they kept finding more votes for Trump. You know, they weren't even actually asking for recounts or anything like that. It was Jill Stein that said, I want to have a recount. And they found like 200 more votes for Trump. And then they just went on asking. In 2016, at this point in 2016, Tracy, December 2016, the only play that was being played, they were starting to set the table for Russia accusations and whatever kind of legal terrorism could be spawned from that. And also, they had all of Hollywood begging the electors to go faithless. Yep. That's what they were doing in December of 2016, not talking about audits or anything else, because they knew that one had been stolen from them. In their hubris, they did not see I guess they didn't care either, because the primary elections had been stolen from Democrat voters with Hillary Clinton first, and that was okay.
And this was only machine fraud that they used in 2016.
Yeah.
And the guys that did the, I've seen a story somewhere that the guys that did the forensic audit in Michigan had said that they had found in 2016 that somehow a lot of this machine fraud was stopped at the very. Haven't we talked with Patrick about that?
Yeah, but Patrick, when he told us about that, and then when he came on my show, he said something very interesting, and that was that the whatever was stopped in 2016. Whatever was in place that was supposed to deliver Hillary Clinton the Midwest without having to do any campaigning, he said it was not stopped by white hats in the country.
Oh.
And he left it at that, and I couldn't get anything else out of him. That is a pretty significant little comment to make.
Yeah, that's far.
He said that the steal was stopped by white hats outside of the country.
Well, that can't be possible, Frank, because none of this traffic goes outside the country, right?
I know. I don't. And listen, hey, he didn't give me anything else. He said it on the show. So, I mean, there's that.
Wow.
So I have a couple of ideas, but I'm not going to put them out there.
Well, I mean, that's something. Where were they this time around? Thanks a lot, guys.
But that's the whole thing. I don't know. We haven't seen any real big, I don't know. It's really coming down to the wire. I'd like to hope that if you really wanted to slay the dragon, then you have to allow the dragon to put itself in the biggest dragon trap ever. And whereas I'd like to hope that's what we're looking at right now, it is. I don't know. I hate that all this time still goes by. It's almost like with Russia. We had all the answers. We had all the evidence. We had all the timelines that made sense. But they had the media and they were allowed to get out in front of every story, craft every story with minimal real pushback. And I mean, we're doing the best we can. But when the hell are we able to just crush them with a tidal wave?
Well,
what
seems like is happening now is this coalition in the Senate and Congress is building to do the right thing here on the you know, when the Electoral College shenanigans begin. Whereas in 2016, they could not get electors to do, they couldn't get competing slates of electors in any state. They didn't have any.
Right.
This time there are competing electors in seven states. So the process can be followed here. You know what's going on right now, Frank? And we're going to talk more about that in a second, but I cannot continue the show without talking about this. Today is the airing of grievances. The Festivus airing of grievances.
Festivus for the rest of us? Is this Rand Paul?
Yes.
Okay, so this will be great then.
It is. Let's read. Good morning and happy Festivus. Today we will air some more grievances in the holiday tradition. I'll throw in a new wrinkle this year because so many people are joining in with my grievances that I want to highlight how the word is spreading. Your government is out of control and a lot of us have grievances. We'll talk about Congress, petty tyrants all over, foreign aid, wasteful spending, science-denying, quote, experts, and other holiday goodies. This is not the time for holiday cheer. That's for tomorrow after we air our grievances. I love him. Later, for feats of strength, we will see who can lift with one hand the 5,593-page monstrosity of a bill Congress just passed. Good luck. Ready?
Yes.
I'll start where everyone in America should begin with their grievances. Congress. Oh, Congress, where to even begin? Congress passed a nearly 5,600-page bill that was written in secret, put in public 6 hours before the vote, and read by not one person in the body. Not one. We will spend all week and probably longer trying to figure out all that was wrong with it, but we have a few already. Congress gave you $600. Would you like to know what they gave everyone else? $15 million to buy high-speed speedboats for Sri Lanka. $130 million to promote democracy in Nepal. $15 million to promote it in Pakistan. Interesting, since we can't even seem to validate mail-in ballots in the United States properly. $33 billion to promote democracy in Venezuela. That seems to be going well so far. Oh, wait, I found it. We're going with promote democracy in America with $132 million in assistance for Georgia. Oh, no, wait, that's the former Soviet Republic. Never mind. That's the end of the thread so far.
So, but he'll probably be going for another. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. And just from the little bit that I had seen before. Of what was in there. It's just insane.
Every year, Rand Paul does his Festivus thread. And every year for the past, even last year, it started getting a little more popular. But, you know, I said the other day, I said, hey, sticking by your principles in Congress is starting to look a little bit better, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, what the other thing is, I think it's starting to become a little bit more fashionable. Mm-hmm. And I think the more people do it, and it has to take one, and one leads to two, two to four. The more people do it, the more people are going to be confident in the ability to pull it off, and at least have somebody to go along with it all. I don't know. No,
he released his report. $54 billion in waste this year. $54 billion. It's enough to buy every American a new 40-inch flat-screen TV. It would span the Appalachian Trail 2.5 times. If you spent all your time only counting to 54,746,524, one number per second, you would finish counting in the year 3756. 5.4 million people is enough to fill every Power 5 conference football stadium with more than 1 million people left over. It could have bought us 465,221 miles of paved two-lane roadway, enough to wrap the entire earth 18 times. 3 years of the entire Treasury Department. 6 months of the House of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Healthcare. They studied if you'll eat ground-up bugs. $1,327,781.
Yeah.
A study.
Again with the bugs.
Yeah. A study to find out why stress makes your hair turn gray. 36 million.
You know, in years past, they did studies, like the CDC was given money to do studies as to why lesbians are usually overweight. Why they are overweight. They wanted to also study the effect of cocaine on Japanese pigeons.
This one you'll like, Frank. This will be right up your alley.
Oh, great. Like
it tries to get Eastern Mediterranean youth to stop smoking hookah. 1.4 million.
Jeez. Eastern Mediterranean, you want to get them to stop smoking hookah?
That's what he says. Use cancer research money to create a smart toilet. 6.9 million.
You hear the baby crying?
No. Let me hear.
Hold on. Let me put up the microphone. Hold on. What is it? You hear it?
Hear nothing.
Okay. Well, she's crying. She's obviously right above me.
Cutie pie.
Yep.
Aurora's first Christmas.
Keep going, though, with all of the grift.
Oh, yes, the grift. This is the real grift, people. Stop calling people working their butts off grifters, and this is the real grift right here in Congress. They sent messages to moms to stop their teenage girls from indoor tanning. $3.4 million on that. Funded an allegedly faked study linking e-cigarettes to heart attacks. $31 million on that. Oh, interviewed San Franciscans about their edible cannabis use. $3
million
there.
$3
million. Oh, this
$3 million. You got people that do this stuff for man on the street YouTube videos every day for free in AdSense.
Yeah. Here's another one. Interviewed. Sorry. Gave federal employees duplicative Medicare customer service access. So it was an accident. $217 million. Tested if hot tubbing can lower stress. $2 million there. Appropriated millions to the urban Indian health programs. $57 million. Oh, tried to help people get over their fears of going to the dentist. Sharon, thinking of you. $1 million. Studying the prevalence of party drug use at New York City clubs and raves. $1.4 million.
I wonder what went into that study.
Yeah. Yep. Then there's foreign.
We're getting government employees high, and they're for millions of dollars. And you know what's really going on? They probably. You know, $3 million to talk to San Franciscans about their edibles out there. That really actually only cost about $100,000 maybe. And everything else went to God knows what else. As long as it's on the books and it was spent on so-and-so.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's all. There's a lot more here under miscellaneous. Rebuilt a taxiway for airplanes on Nantucket. $19 million. Bought COVID test tubes, but received unusable soda bottles. $10 million. Buying cars for state and local law enforcement. $53 million. 3 bike storage facilities at the DC Metro Station. $5 million. Prepared bugs for you to eat. Another $2 million. Almost $3 million. Sprayed alcoholic rats with bobcat urine. $4.5 million.
What?
Yeah. Allowed states to take advantage of TANF rules. $16.5 billion. Wow. Overspent on prefab housing and water pumps in Texas. FEMA spent $182 million by accident.
Jeez. Oh gosh, these are great.
Yeah. And there's a whole section, the top 10. We'll go over those after this little sponsorship message from BetterHelp.
Well, we're gonna need it.
Yeah, we're going to need it.
We're going to need some better help, that's for sure.
Yep, absolutely. What interferes with your happiness, Frank?
Well, I think you just read off a lot of it. That we can start there, and then we can move away into other territory. But
BetterHelp assesses your needs, matches you with your own licensed professional therapist to help you through all of this crazy stress that you might be feeling. You can connect in a safe and private online environment. It is so convenient, you can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's not self-help, it's actually professional counseling. You can send a message to your counselor anytime, get timely and thoughtful responses, and you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. All without ever having to leave your house and sit in an uncomfortable waiting room at all. They have counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, anger, family conflicts, grief, and self-esteem. Anything that you share is confidential. It's convenient, professional, affordable. You can check out the testimonials that you can see there every day on their site. They update new ones. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states right now. Want you guys to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you guys get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/dark2light. Join over 1 million people who also are upset about the Festivus list and have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/dark2light.
There you have it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Here's the top 10.
Oh, great. Just go for it. I love these.
You do?
Oh yeah, it's you know, if we don't laugh, it'll drive us nuts, and it's all imaginary. It's all imaginary there too.
We gotta laugh before we get into the serious stuff about Durham and all this stuff that's going on here.
Okay.
Despite spending 15 years and billions of dollars, American counter narcotics efforts in Afghanistan are ineffective. The Fish and Wildlife Service is subsidizing yachting. NIH paid to find out if hot tubbing can lower stress.
I can tell you. How much was that?
It's up here. Hold on. Let's see. Hot tubbing. It's in here. How much it is? I think I didn't read that one. $2 million. $2 million.
$2 million to see if sitting in a bubbling, warm hot tub will lower your stress levels.
Yeah.
Why do you think people do jacuzzis? So you sit in a jacuzzi to be stressed out? No, to relax.
Yeah.
$2 million. I'm telling you, it didn't go to that. It didn't go to
that.
What
do you think it went to?
I don't know, but it's common sense that you sit in a hot tub to relax.
I guess they wanted to prove it, Frank, because they want to prove, you know, like they want to prove everything else that's so important in this. using CARES Act funds, the FAA renovated a taxiway at the airport on Nantucket Island, most often used by private jets. The NIH paid researchers to interview San Franciscans about how they use edible cannabis. That was the top 10 one. The test tube one was there. Oh, the NIH paid researchers to develop methods to stop grown adults from binge watching television.
Well, how does it even go hand in hand with locking grown adults inside their houses for 8 months?
I don't know what they want them to do. Perhaps they could open up a constitution. The DOD lost more than 100 drones over Afghanistan. Whoops. USAID is open to creating a venture capital fund in Bosnia and Herzegovina for bad investments. And the NSF ran lizards on a treadmill.
Why not?
And then you go in. I mean, they literally, I mean, this is a great report. I'm going to put it in the show notes, Frank. I'm going to put it in the show notes and everybody can read it around the Christmas table. It's Festivus time.
That's it. It'll help you with your digestion.
What do you do for dinner on Christmas Eve?
You know, we usually go to my father-in-law's now these days. We go to my father-in-law's, then we go to my grandmother's. It's been a long, long time since there's been any semblance of the seven fishes. I don't think I ever got seven fishes. But there was always something there, a bacala, my mother's parents, they would do things like, you know, shark or flounder or things like that. The calamad, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, now it's more so like maybe you get a shrimp scampi, maybe you get stuffed shells. Things like that. But obviously there's two less trips to make this year than last year. But that's pretty much what it is. Pasta, shrimps, things like that.
I do Christmas Eve every year. That's my night. And my dad and I just go nuts and we just cook and cook and cook and cook. And this year will be no different. We'll just be all huddled together in this house instead. And so it is just going to be, we decided to do just appetizers with a little ham for our meal, our big meal, but like lots of like stuffed mushrooms, mussels, baked clams.
Oh, the stuffed mushrooms are great.
Mm-hmm. Mine have this year's spinach, nice spicy little pepper in there, some spinach. Last year I did jalapeno poppers. I'm not doing that again. But we do all kinds of eggplant croquettes, which are delicious. There's just all kinds of cooking going on. All kinds. And then lasagna on Christmas Day.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Scott Baio had a thing on Twitter about his meatballs. Did you see?
No, I didn't.
How do you make meatballs? It's important.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't. Well, I haven't made any in years. But I when I was following along with my grandparents, or whenever I was doing it with my even some in-laws there too, it's you have the ground meat, and I have to put some time into that. But it was the breadcrumbs and what the hell else is the other thing?
Do they bake them?
No, they fry them.
Oh, I love it. That's what I'm saying. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah, you get a shallow. You put some oil in a shallow pan, and you brown them, and then you stack them up and on a nice little plate that is nested thickly with paper towel to absorb all that oil. And then, of course, I mean, it's hard not to eat them like that because they're so crispy.
I coat my meatballs in breadcrumb and then fry them.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds awesome.
It's amazing. And everybody always is like, wow. And that's how Scott Baio did it. And I've never seen anyone else.
Yeah. And as much as I love them in gravy,
sauce.
Whatever. As much as I love them in a, with, you know, with other things, I can just take, I love them when they're just fresh off the pan.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Very hard. In fact, it's good to plan for a small side plate of only sauceless, gravyless meatballs, just so you can just have them and not feel guilty about taking away from the main supply.
We always put a nice chunk of side meatballs, and my mom has learned since having us here that she needs to put double, sometimes triple that number on the side, because they're all, you know, my dad goes to grab his meatball. It's sitting nicely on the paper towel before, you know, during the day, you just grab one as you walk by and they're always gone. And he's like,
exactly.
All right. Well, now that we've talked about balls, let us move on to a memo here that Trump has signed, which is allowing Durham to use classified Russia evidence in a grand jury probe. John Solomon says that this means we're getting close to more indictments.
More indictments?
Yes.
Well, if there are indictments being worked on, I don't know about them, but I guess there would be indictments coming.
Classified information may be utilized in the probe scrutinizing origins of the FBI investigation related to the 2016 presidential campaign, according to a presidential order from President Trump. It says this. The Attorney General is currently conducting a review of intelligence activities relating to the campaign in the 2016 presidential election and certain related matters. On May 13, 2019, Attorney General directed John Durham to conduct the review, which subsequently developed into a criminal investigation. On October 19, 2020, the Attorney General appointed Mr. Durham to conduct that investigation pursuant to the powers and independence afforded by the special counsel regulations of the Department of Justice. We're going to get to more of this in a second, but I want to say, think about this for a second. Barr says there's no need to appoint a special counsel to look into Hunter Biden, right?
Yeah, I saw that.
And I just kind of roll my eyes and shrug my shoulders. He's out the door. You know, people are talking about like how he wasn't, you know, he was not a good AG. He was a swamp creature. But then you look at that, where we know that there was criminality with Hunter Biden, right? We know it. It's documented at this point, pay to play and everything else. He did appoint a special counsel to look into this stuff. How much worse is it than the Biden stuff?
That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking about this. I say, all right, well, Hunter Biden once again is only like the latest. It's a travesty that the media did what they did to interfere with an election and to try to prop up once again a dead candidate who should not have been on the trail. They did it for Hillary Clinton in 2016. They hid criminality so that she can stay on the campaign trail. This time they did it for a person who wasn't even campaigning.
Yeah.
But you know, really, when you think about this sandwich this multi-leveled sandwich of crime to just be distracted by the most recent chapter of it, Hunter Biden, is really ridiculous when you think about the much bigger things that have been on the table for so long. That should definitely be wrapped up first. Not saying let him go, but to be distracted by it all. You can always come back around to it. And I'm sure there's something on file. Hell, the FBI knew about it a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
So we know that there's something going on there. So with the condition we're in, I don't add to my stress level anymore when I hear Barr say one thing, Hunter doesn't need a special counsel. But then, like you said, pointing out classified information that's being used in possibly a grand jury somewhere else. You're like, okay, well, let's see.
Well, the funny thing is, too, is that Barr interviewed with Kimberly Strassel, apparently. And at some point he said he didn't see any interference from the CIA that was criminal. But he didn't say that. What he said was before July 2016, he didn't see that. He didn't say that it never happened. He just said he didn't see it before July. So this letter that President Trump wrote goes on to say, quote, in a memorandum of May 23rd, 2019, I directed the heads of elements of the intelligence community as defined in 50 U.S.C. 3003-4 and the heads of each department or agency that includes an element of the intelligence community to assist the attorney general in connection with that review and authorize the attorney general to declassify, downgrade, or direct the declassification or downgrading of information or intelligence that relates to his review. In addition, the Attorney General is authorized to use classified information as he deems necessary in connection with his review, including in a grand jury or other proceeding. And Catherine Herridge has been all over this. And, you know, she's been following this story for a long time. Hold on one second here. She says, yeah, that's it. That's all I got here. That's exactly what she said, basically what I just said. And these more text messages are out again, too, and I haven't looked at them yet because I've been on this voter fraud kick, which I will not leave until we are assured that our elections have been doling out the proper result. But obviously there's going to be a lot to catch up with on these text messages. I just haven't had time to read them. But there's a lot in there. And I just want to see I want to see these people go to jail. End of story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a New Year's wish.
Rand Paul's report also tells us, Frank, that the National Institute of Health, the NIH, spent $896,994 giving cigarettes to adolescent kids.
Ew. As if they weren't getting it themselves.
Well, why not have the NIH help you out, huh?
Exactly. That's why I made the joke with this $600 stimulus that they want to send to everybody, every adult in the country under a certain income threshold. So what they pretty much should have just done was just sent out 50 million PlayStation 5s, because that's all that's going to happen right now. People are going to get $600. Most of them are going to buy PlayStations. The other half is going to buy Air Jordans. And there you go. Sony and Nike are going to have their economy stimulated.
Sony and Nike are, you know, while they're having their Chinese slave labor happenings, they're making tons of money on the COVID lockdowns, too.
Indeed.
Let's just pop back in here to the Georgia hearing and see what they're at. This guy's still talking.
The problem was when, as he said, but later in the day, our supervisor told us just to process that pile of non-vaccine food as well. So that was the thing. I think we had opened an investigation on that. I think the same day that we received the complaint. Our investigation, we reached out to Cobb County, see, okay, what can you tell us about this? We identified the supervisor who was alleged to have done that. That's came from him, and then they also speak to the complainant. I'm not sure if we've done that yet at this point. But that's part of the investigation. That's the investigation that led us to conduct the signature audit in Cobb County.
And you mentioned that the complaint for that was received on November 23rd. The Are you aware that some members of this committee and several members of the House sent a letter on the 28th encouraging the Secretary of State to engage in a signature audit?
I don't dispute that.
Okay. Well, if you're not, you may not be aware, but members of this committee, as well as other members of the House, did send a letter to the Secretary of State on the 28th of November requesting that a signature audit be engaged. For members of the committee and for the members of the public, I never received a written response. I did receive a verbal response acknowledging receipt of the letter, along with a verbal explanation that the Secretary of State's office did not have authority to do the signature audit.
I can't. This guy, what this has basically done been so far, I guess this guy's from the Secretary of State's office. I don't know. But it's basically been him saying, oh, yeah, we know we investigated ourselves and everything's fine. Oh, Frank.
Everything's fine. You want to go out for some coffee?
Did we talk about on Monday? I don't think we talked about the 15-page thing, the 15-page Georgia document about voter fraud that went out.
No, I didn't see anything about it either.
So it came out last week and it kind of floated under the radar. And then I saw it. It was brought to my attention and I tweeted about it because there is a letter. There is the final here. Chairman's report of the election law study subcommittee of the Standing Senate Judiciary Committee in Georgia. Okay. They talk about Elena Parent on there. This was the committee that witnessed the video of the ballots being pulled out from underneath the tablecloths.
Yes.
So they go through all of the things that were wrong. And they talk about that. They say this. They say that this report has not been formally approved by the subcommittee. It is submitted for informational purposes to be a part of the record at the request of the judiciary chair, probably because I think they have to vote to accept it. And I don't know if they have. I don't know why they're not voting because they're not meeting. I'm not sure. But this is the executive summary. It starts: the November 3rd, 2020 general election was chaotic and any reported results must be viewed as untrustworthy. That's their first statement. They go through oral testimony. They go through the chain of custody issues, the duplication of ballots without oversights, denial of entry to poll watchers, hostility, wildly disparate vote totals from the recounts, ballots counted from ineligible voters, constitutional violations of duly passed law, data analysis in general, and Dominion issues. Outside influence over governmental election functions. That's in here. Voters are unable to verify their votes are counted. And then they go over findings. They talk about how grants from private sources provided financial incentives to county officials and exerted influence over the election process. There's all kinds of violations, things. Then they go to recommendations. And they have A through H. H says this: for rectifying the 2020 general election results, the legislature should carefully consider its obligations under the United States Constitution. If a majority of the General Assembly concurs with the findings of this report, the certification of the election should be rescinded, and the General Assembly should act to determine the proper electors be certified to the Electoral College in the 2020 presidential race. Since time is of the essence, the chairman and senators who concur with this report recommend that the leadership of the General Assembly and the governor immediately convene to allow further consideration by the entire General Assembly.
All right. Well, we got some time.
Yeah.
We got some time.
Kemp just has to stop being China's.
How can you do that, though, if it opens yourself? I mean, if he really is as in the bag as Lin Wood promises he is, to the point where on countless occasions at this point, he's promised that Kemp and his Secretary of State are going to jail. If that really is the case, then how would you ever expect these people to turn around and open up the door to their own exposure?
Yeah, because they obviously were horrible enough that they sold out in the first place.
Exactly. So what? There has to be an end around that. There has to be an end around the governor, if he really is as compromised as people say he is.
You'd hope.
I hope, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the power the state legislature has out there and what they can do, what they're willing to do. I don't know. But if this all hinges on the governor's action, then, man, I mean, what can you really expect him to do? That'd be like putting the cuffs on himself.
Yeah, basically. Basically. And, you know, everybody's talking about this part in the Insurrection Act is trending right now. And everybody's talking about the part of this bill where it says basically that Trump doesn't have the power to invoke the Insurrection Act. They take it away from him. It nullifies the president's use of the Insurrection Act.
Yeah. Imagine that. Imagine that. Don't sign this thing. I wish he would just veto it straight out. I don't know why. I guess politically you say, no, we can't do this unless people get $2,000.
Yeah, but he also said other stuff too.
So, I mean, maybe with all the demands that he makes to be added to this on top of the $2,000 that people like bird brains like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are saying, well, I'm happy the president is going along with our recommendations because we wanted $2,000 for each person, blah, 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 blah.
I never thought I'd agree with Ilhan Omar or AOC, but both of them said things that make sense.
As far as what goes?
Well, she said yesterday, she said, this is why Congress needs time to actually read this package before voting on it. And she's quote tweeting something that says the COVID-19 stimulus bill would make illegal streaming a felony.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's because of Republican Tom Tillis out there in North Carolina.
Very excited to cram all that monstrosity in.
Oh, yeah. So, felony. So somebody like me, even if I had a copyrighted song, which I've been trying to find, you think that they would keep the marketplace wide open so somebody could finally innovate enough to allow the millions of people who stream all over the world easier for them to use copyrighted music and monetize for the copyright owners? No, they're not trying to innovate. They're trying to keep things clamped down, and they want to serve up felony charges to people.
Yeah.
Who even have a copyright? If Billy Joel plays accidentally in the background while you're playing a video game, they want you to be liable for fines and jail time.
But, you know, vote 60 times, kick people out of polls, pull ballots from underneath tables, commit sedition and treason, and it's all good. Everyday American accidentally streams Billy Joel while they're playing a video game on Twitch, off to jail with you. So AOC continues, members of Congress have not read this bill. It's over 5,000 pages, arrived at 2. And we are told to expect a vote on it in 2 hours. This isn't governance. It's hostage taking. And then she said, and by the way, it's not just members who need to see the bill ahead of time. You do. The public needs to see these bills with enough time to contact their representatives to let them know how they feel. Members are reeling right now because they don't have the time to consult with their communities.
No. The problem here is that even if she was given 2 weeks to read 5,000 pages, these omnibus bills are unconstitutional. They should be completely illegal.
Yep.
They are these really awful ways for people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, everybody, people from both parties, to shirk their responsibilities to debate and to vote on every individual bill. 98% of which that is in these big bills are completely unconstitutional. They should not even be taken up by the federal government. They're all state issues. Okay. So what they really do is they put a couple of things that are constitutional in there and they hold that up, and then everything else, they hold it up, and it is hostage taking. It is hostage taking. Uh-huh. And if they were actually going in there and debating and voting on these individual bills, they wouldn't have nearly enough time to go play to the cameras and to tweet, or in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's case, to cook hamburger helper on Instagram Live. Whatever the hell it is that they all do with their time, they would have no time. They would actually have to work. So they put it all together, and then everything else is just WWE nonsense.
The crazy...
Yeah.
I mean, the crazy thing here is how they say these things. Like, now she said, like you said in the beginning of all this, now let's do it. We're ready. We wrote the amendment. Let the GOP stand down. well, we can pass this check, these checks this week with this amendment. That's not the point. He said tons of other things, too.
Well, I know that he considers politics as far as whether or not to veto or pass a bill or anything like that. But the election is over one way or another. Okay, the votes have been cast. We're waiting to see how this is going to be mitigated as far as the crimes that have been committed along the way. But the election's behind. And I know that he wants to help out people that have been locked away. But this isn't going to help anybody. It's not going to help anybody unless, of course, in his second term, he really does have a plan to destroy the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, this is...
You know, unless he absolutely understands that the second phase of his plan means a realigning of America's finances and declaring national sovereignty from the central bank. If he really is taking up the mantle of Andrew Jackson, as may be hinted at from the portrait in the Oval Office right now, then I guess giving people $2,000. Instead of six.
Well, if they give people $2,000 and remove some of the other nonsense that's in there, we're all, you know, it's better if they take all that foreign aid out of the damn thing. Like, seriously? No,
that's still nothing. You're talking about a few billion inside of a $1 trillion package. The whole thing is gross. But the other, I haven't really looked into the Insurrection Act stuff there too. But everything else, I mean, who knows what the actual play is there?
They put things in there you would never find, and then all of a sudden they're law.
Perhaps Trump's plan doesn't even require the Insurrection Act.
It doesn't.
Perhaps it doesn't even require it.
It doesn't, but still.
So, I mean, as we go through this, we'll know more, obviously, but...
Yeah, we're gonna end in a second, but I just wanted to... Let's just jump back into Georgia for a minute and end with the rest of this Georgia thing, and then maybe, you know what, before we do that... Actually, let's do this first. I'm all over the place. Here we go.
And that was the Joseph.
I can't understand a word
you're
saying.
That's not allowed. Now, you might do it completely innocently. You know, it might not be intentional. We're investigating people who voted both absentee... and in person, in some of those, it seems to be completely innocent, where it's, you know, a lot of times older people who were maybe confused and thought that it was a different election. So I don't want to call that fraud, but it's still not allowed. And those are the things that I think the system's got to be set up to, to protect them.
Okay, so to be clear, none of that has anything to do with providing a reason as to why you would want to use absentee voting, but I'll move on. You brought up voter confidence, which I'm glad you brought that up because that actually goes to my second question. We know that there's no proof that the Dominion voting machines were hacked in the November election.
Do we know that, really? We know there's no proof? No one's ever said they were hacked.
We know there's no proof.
Oh, we know.
Everything.
We know there's no proof. We know. Like what's her name? Leslie Stahl. We know. No, Mr. President, there's no evidence.
Oh, sweetie, no, there's no evidence. No. Gosh. Oh, Mr. President, no, honey, no, no. You weren't spied on. I wanted to reach through the television and rip her wig off.
Oh, yeah, you know she's wearing one, right?
I have no clue. I just wanted to rip her off.
Damn it. I was hoping you would say yes.
Maybe. Could be. Everything else
know.
Is fake.
We know. We know. Frank, give a Christmas message to all the good folks out there.
Oh, hell yeah. You have to, I don't know. I don't know. I was going to say enjoy your family, but I don't know how many people you're going to see him. Just create a little bit of time for quiet. That just might be the best thing. Hopefully everybody's able to find time with people they love, friends, family, you know, the chosen family and the family that you were born with. It doesn't matter. Be a rebel this Christmas and gather around anybody else around you that is that needs it and wants it and isn't completely overtaken or stricken with grief and paranoia about everything that's been done to us over the years. Don't spend any time trying to drag people away from whatever their preconceptions are that have been given to them by one force or another, and just spend time putting out that bat signal for anybody who wants to get together and just look for a human interaction that you can rest on. Have a nice cocktail. Put on an old Christmas film. Mm-hmm. Put on an old film. Okay? Nothing new. Please. All of those Christmas specials on Netflix. I was looking through the listings because just out of curiosity, what's there? These Christmas specials are, oh my God! I can do an entire show just on what Christmas is now in a media sense. It's just gross. It's one big Dawson's Creek episode. Everybody having sex with each other, but there's a Christmas wreath in the background, and everybody's wearing red. That's it. Everybody's going in and out of Christmas parties, and everybody's figuring out who they're going to bang that night. And then there's drama, and then finally two people get together at the end, and it's snowing. That's it. That's a Christmas film now. It's snowing at the end.
Oh, it's snowing, all right. That's what she said.
God. That's what she said. Oh, by the way, the Office is not going to be. I'm going to have to buy all the seasons of The Office because after December 31st, it's no longer on Netflix. And that was the only reason why I had Netflix in the first place.
Well, that's good. Now you can cancel that network that exploits children.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't even. It's more so Lauren. She watches all of these book novel adaptations that have been put on to Netflix. And I just look at mostly watch the stuff that I buy and put into my Amazon library. Mm. So I'm building up my own little Netflix for myself because there's only one thing I watch there anyway. It's The Office.
Well, that's a good show.
I love that show.
Yep. Well, my Christmas wish before we go is just that everybody try and take 24 hours off and spend time with their families and just do what Frank said. Light some incense, some nice pine incense. Share some gifts of love and cookies and eggnog and warmth and send good vibes up into the air and get ready to start back up again on Saturday or Monday or whenever it is that you come back from your food coma.
And watch a recording. Watch a recording of one of those midnight masses that were televised back in the 90s and 80s.
Yeah.
You know, at least watch a recording of a big cathedral in New York City or somewhere else that just packed to the brim with people. You know, just bring yourself to somewhere. You know what's going to be really weird, Tracy?
What?
What the hell is New Year's Eve going
to
be like?
Oh, I don't even want to think about what they have done to destroy New Year's Eve.
Well, I mean, it's canceled in New York City.
Yeah.
So what is the Thanksgiving Day parade was pathetic. It wasn't even a parade. It was just like a rotating door of acts, some kind of a variety show outside of Macy's. And then that was on NBC and on CBS. It was two people playing footage from Thanksgiving's past when it was normal. And I was like, would you do this? It's even worse to look at what things were.
Are we going to have to see Anderson Cooper and Kathy Griffin? Because if not, then I'm happy.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It'll be even more pathetic on their end if with nobody out, with no parties, with nothing being really celebrated out in the open, if they got drunk in studio, Cooper and Don Lemon getting sloshed on television and making sexual innuendo jokes to each other on live television. It was cringy and disgusting as it was to turn that into a broadcast. I mean, I'm all for getting drunk and getting frisky. But as far as broadcast goes, I can't stand people who turn that into a broadcast. And And it's even one thing to have that going on when the backdrop is tens of thousands of people in Times Square.
Yes, but when you're just in a studio dry like Yeah.
So it's going to be – everything has become so sobering because you can't actually have a party. You can't generate that kind of good time energy if there's nobody around you. You can't
especially not when the two people trying to generate good time energy don't have any good time energy.
Oh, yeah. Kathy Griffin is a complete loser. I don't know if she'll still be around, but she's a loser. Psychopath. Yeah, Ed Grimley.
Yeah. If you go to Midnight Mass on Christmas Eve and you can still go, please make sure to just take a solemn minute and just pray for the country.
Light a candle.
Light a candle. Yeah. If you go to Mass on Christmas Day, do the same and just, you know, let's relish in appreciate and love the Lord. And it's, you know, it's the day. So you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Christmas Eve, Val, and
Fiends. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. And don't worry, if I have to chain Christmas Eve Frank to his chair in his basement, he will be doing this podcast with me forever. Say it.
Yes, well, if I'm chained, I'll have nowhere to go, so.
That's correct.
There you go. One way or another.
You have one word to say, Frank.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.